Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting faith with life.
Welcome to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. I'm Joe Rathmanner, and it's great to have you here today. Well, it's that time of year again where expectations tend to run a little high and pressure seems to build more and more each day. I'm not talking about the Academy Awards or the months when college acceptance letters start rolling in. Nope. I'm talking about Valentine's Day, of course. It's that one Hallmark day when we all try desperately to impress and honor the one that we love, and sometimes we wait a little too long to start planning how to do that. So if you're listening today and realize, oh man, it's Friday the 13th, I don't have time, I don't have a reservation at my sweetie's favorite restaurant, I don't have a gift, I haven't purchased that expensive item that will melt their heart, well, I have some good news for you. It's completely possible to connect with that person whom you love without a lot of planning and without breaking the bank. And we have some great information for you today. In fact, we can create big romance on a very small budget. My guests today are here to tell us exactly how we can do that. So let me introduce them to you and we will get them on the show. David and Claudia Arp are founders of Marriage Alive International. It's a groundbreaking ministry dedicated to providing resources and training to empower churches to help build better marriages. The Arps are authors of numerous books and video curricula, including the 10 Great Dates series and the Gold Medal Medallion Award-winning series, The Second Half of Marriage. The Arps have appeared on numerous television and radio shows, and when they are not writing or speaking, you'll probably find them hiking the trails of Northern Virginia where they live, or in the Austrian Alps where they love to hike. Welcome, David and Claudia.
Thanks, Joe. Glad to be with you. Well, that sounds like we have a rough life, right?
No. I know I was reading that. I'm like, oh, that sounds like a great date right now, but it's not going to qualify in the $10 great dates, right?
No, unfortunately.
Some hiking that's $10 or less, right?
Yeah, you got it, Joe. Absolutely.
Well, as I've read your books, I've noticed that there's a recurring theme. You have a passion for helping couples build great marriages by having fun. So talk a little more about that and how that came to be.
Well, one of our sayings is fun in marriage is serious business. And if you think about it, we've never met a couple on the way to the divorce court who were having fun. And, in past generations that may not have been true, but couples today, because of our fast-paced life, we really want more emotional connectedness. We want to feel like we're going through life together. And fun is one of the ways to, help facilitate that.
Joe, a number of years ago, we did a national survey on what makes marriages really go the distance, what makes them last or be successful. And we found that one of the greatest indicator of a successful long-term marriage is the level of the couple friendship. And, how do you build your friendship? We think one way is to have great dates.
Spending time together.
Yes.
Well, and the book that we're going to talk mostly about today is called $10 Great Dates. But you have an entire series of books that talk about great dates. Tell us a little bit about those and then how you came to this $10 Great Dates idea.
Well, our first Great Dates book was 10 Great Dates to Energize Your Marriage. And that forms the basis of our Great Dates seminar and also the 10 Great Dates program, video-based curriculum that's used in churches and communities around the country. And what we were trying to do is to help those couples build their friendship and also learn some, good, practical, biblical, and skill-based ways to build their relationship, to learn these skills. And so we thought, if you put them in the context of dates, couples go out, they have fun together, and they grow together.
they learn some skills, some ways to better ways to communicate, better ways to, process anger and manage conflict, and those things that we all have to deal with. But if you're having a little bit of fun along the way, then the skills are much easier to do. Plus, dating it's not a marriage course, it's not a marriage seminar. It's just it's just dates, and guys will come. That's been sort of, I guess, the unintended magic of this, of the 10 great dates, is that it's just a date. So guys will say, hey, how much trouble can I get on a date? So, hey, sure, I'll go to that
program. I'll do that. And it's the 10 great dates couples can do on their own, or they can do it through their churches, or just get some friends together and have a dating club and encourage one another. And so we found that that couples, especially the guys, may not like to talk about their marriage in front of somebody else's husband or wife, but what they need to do is to talk with each other. And so many times we read a book, we go to a seminar or a class, and, you know, we go home and think, oh, that's great things, I should do it, but you never do. Mm-hmm. So with 10 great dates, they actually go out and have their date and really connect and go home, you know, more in love.
Well, and it does seem to be all about connecting, and I love reading the 10 great dates because it gives you things to talk about. Sometimes we go out with our loved one and all we talk about is things to do, or who's taking the kids here, or what is it we have to plan, or we really need to plan that vacation. And instead it's actually talking about, you're looking at maybe some conversation starters and then talking about things that have to do with the two of you. How does that benefit couples?
Well, I think the fact that you're concentrating on your relationship, you're not concentrating on these problems, these other issues that have to be dealt with. You might want to have a business meeting to deal with those. But to have, when you're going out on a great date, you want to focus on each other. If you're backing out of the driveway and you're going out on your great date, and one of you says, "Hey, did you see the Visa bill that came today?" No, your great
date
just
your
great date just went down the went down the
Went down the drain.
Went down the drain.
That's what I'm trying to say. And
right, hopped out the window.
Yeah. It went out the window, too. Anyway, it's over. Just pull back into the garage and, you know, have a business meeting, because, you know, that's the great date is not going to happen.
We work with a lot of young parents, and we tell them, look, you need to make your marriage a priority. Your kids will wait while you grab some moments to build your marriage, but your marriage is not going to wait till your kids grow up. So if couples would plan, you know, a weekly date, a time that they're going to really concentrate on their marriage, it can make a world of difference.
Hmm. You know, I, at one point in time in our marriage, I was helping my husband with his business, and what we found is that when he would come home at night, that's what we would talk about. And finally, we had to say, okay, here's the deal. We are going to set aside time where I come to your office, we schedule a meeting, we sit in the conference room, we talk about all the business things that we need to talk about, and when you come home, we're only going to talk about us. And that was a huge difference in the way that we were able to communicate with each other, because then at home or on a date, we weren't talking about the business, we just left the business at the business, and that made a big difference.
Well, we can relate to that, because now what if your business is marriage education?
That's a whole new problem.
And you're both workaholics.
So then all of a sudden, you know, to be perfectly honest, Joe, and with those who are listening, a couple of our biggest arguments have been actually when we were working on a project.
Joe, we used to have, for years, we had a little short radio spot, the Family Workshop. It was on Skylight Network, and it was on stations around the country. And it actually started with KTIS. And
yay.
Years ago, John Ingen reading our little marriage builder books over the radio every morning. But anyway, we did this radio program for years, and it was such a hassle to do it. But we love doing it.
Claudia loved doing it.
One day we had been down to the local station, you know, recording the next batch of programs, and we were driving home, and we were so stressed, and I was so worried about all these different things, and we had the radio on, and this couple came on the radio, and they were talking about, you know what, are you stressed out? You just feel like you're too much, just too much to do. You know, do you need some help? And we thought, boy, let's listen to this couple. We really need this. And so they shared how, you know, if you're really stressed out, just sit down, you know, have a cup of tea, make a list of those things you need to do, and then prioritize them and do the top thing on your list. Hmm. We thought, wow, let's do that. We went home and did it. Now, I have to tell you that the couple we were listening to was ourself. It was the family workshop.
Oh, that's funny.
So we had to take our own advice.
I'm so glad that you did.
You know, Joe, it's easy to wax eloquent about all this stuff. You know, yes, we know the skills. We've read the books. We've written the books. You know, we've read the research. We have lots of head knowledge, but we, just like you and just like those who are listening, we have to work on our relationship just as you have to work. You know, we all have to work on it. It doesn't come automatic to any of us. It may come a little easier to some of us, but we all have to work on a daily basis to keep our communication lines open.
Well, and of course, now with Valentine's Day right around the corner, literally tomorrow, a lot of people do kind of focus on, instead of focusing on the relationship, they think that the gift or the romance of the dinner or whatever is going to define the relationship, the extravagance of it all. But I'm guessing that you would say the extravagance is probably not what's important. So why write the $10 great dates?
You know, a lot of times we throw money at relationships trying to make them work, and we hadn't invested the time we needed. So, you know, one of the greatest things you could do for Valentine's is give your spouse 52 fun dates that you can do for under $10 or less. We put this book together to help people be able to build their relationship and have some great dates without breaking the bank. And it takes more creativity and time than it takes money. So what we decided to do with Peter and Heather Larson, our co-authors, who used to live in the Twin Cities, we said, let's put together a resource of 52 dates that you can actually pull off for $10 or less. And the book is even $9.99. How clever was that?
Ooh, that was good.
And so the dates, either we did them or Larsons have done them or someone has done them, so they're sort of test-driven already. And for each date, we give the idea, you know, of the date and, you know, tips for before your date and on your date, and then we give them talking points because it's easy to get out on a date and just stare at each other, you know, okay, so what do we talk about now? And then there's a great date takeaway, something they can take home for their relationship that will help them in this next week.
You know, Joe, we found that, you know, for us guys, we, you know, sometimes when you say, let's, you know, the wife says, you know, we haven't been out on a date lately, and, you know, what comes in our minds is, you know, oh, gosh, you know, I've got to get dressed up. It's going to cost money. You know, if you go to dinner and a movie, and, you know, you can, with the babysitters, you know, you can blow $100 pretty easily. And so, you know, for us, it's sort of intimidating. But if you have something in your hand where everything's laid out for you, you know, what to do before your date, this is what you're going to do on your date, you hear some talking points that, you know, help you get started. You know, for us guys, that makes it a whole lot easier for us. And what we find is, yeah, you may have to, you know, encourage your guy, maybe the first date, second date, but usually by the third date, they're really into it. They say, hey, you know, this is fun, this is easy, I get brownie points for participating, and so and then it goes forward from there. So it's a great Valentine's gift because, you know, you were talking about earlier that, you know, we think about, well, what's that expensive gift or expensive meal or, you know, whatever it is that we usually do on Valentine's, but our most precious commodity is our time. Mm-hmm. And if we are willing to, this is giving your spouse a gift of time.
Well, and I'm guessing that if I were to look at all of these, which I'm looking at right now, the dates that you have, that the one that says take a hike together is from you two, correct?
Right.
Well, talk about that one a little bit, what you do on your day to take a hike and maybe what you might talk about during that time, because it is a time when you have the undivided attention of the person walking next to you, unless, of course, you're going too fast and leaving them in the dust. That's not a suggestion.
I think, Joe, you may have had this date before, because that is one of our issues.
I'll tell you that story in a minute.
We have another date to pace yourself that's really fun. But our taking a hike together, you know, just... excuse me. I have to start back there. taking a hike together is one of our favorite dates because, one, we need to do it. It's good for our health, but it's also good for our relationship. And I know walking just helps me relax, and we de-stress by talking. And so when we go out, we love to try new trails. We live near a 400-acre park right on the Potomac River in the Washington, D.C. area. So we're fortunate to have a lot of different trails that we can take. And so we'll plan our course, and, you know, we take our phone along, and we can take selfies of us, you know, hiking. And
and we have a walking app that measures how far you go. And
yeah.
I have to brag on Claudia. This 2014, she hiked over 300 miles.
Wow.
And we did most of them together, but I did a few more than Dave.
Yeah. Plus, he's a little more committed than I am.
Plus, nothing says romance like a little competition between your apps, right?
Yeah, but we find that when we walk together, we have some of our best conversations. And also, it's the time we pray together.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our best prayer times is when we're walking together. And I don't know if you've thought about this, but guys tend to relax by doing something, and, you know, gals, we like to relax by talking. So our taking a hike date allows you to do both. And also, you know, if you think about two guys that are talking, they're probably standing, looking off in the distance, talking with each other, where maybe we like to be more eye to eye. But this, it's just a relaxing, easy way for couples to jumpstart their relationship, to deepen the connection, and it's good for your health.
Well, I'm talking today with David and Claudia Arp. We're talking about $10 great dates, things that you can do on Valentine's Day, but of course the whole year through. We're going to take a quick break, but we will be right back in just a minute on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us. Well, it's the day before Valentine's Day, and you may be panicking. Maybe you don't have anything planned for tomorrow or anything purchased, but never fear, because today we're talking about great dates, not only great dates, but $10 great dates, things you can plan spontaneously that don't require a lot of preparation, and things that can be romantic and a great way to connect with your spouse or with your girlfriend or boyfriend, whomever it is that is your Valentine. We were talking about a great date was a hiking date, to take a hike, take a walk, and to walk along with the person whom you love. David and Claudia Arp, that's one of their favorite things to do. So they've written this great resource for us. And we do actually have a couple to give away. So if you're listening to this program, you say, I need to get my hands on that book. Well, go to our website at myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith, and you can submit your request to get this book. And we'll try to get that in your hands. We'll do a drawing at the end of the show. But David and Claudia, you also have a lot of great resources on your own website, right?
We do.
Yes, it's at 10greatdates.org.
And that's 10.
Yeah, 10. Yeah, numeric.
The number 10greatdates.org. And we'll have that on our website as well, so you can click to get more information about the multiple resources that the ARPs have as a way to help us connect a little bit better with our spouse. So we were talking about the going on a hike. One of the things that I was just talking about with my husband was going back to our first date. And the reason we were talking about that is because our kids were asking, how is it that you first met? And our first date sounds a lot like your hiking dates in that we went rollerblading around one of the lakes here in the Twin Cities.
Oh,
and my husband just thought that would be a really fun thing to do. But I didn't find out until we talked to my kids about it that he was actually slowing down and hardly rollerblading at all to keep up with me, I guess, to keep down with me. I don't know what that phrase would be, but to let me keep up, because he said otherwise we wouldn't have been able to have a conversation. But I was such a poor rollerblader, and of course he's a hockey player. So
In Minneapolis, a hockey player? How could that be?
I'm kind of wishing maybe we should have gone on a walk, but I didn't know that. The point is, he didn't tell me that. It's 17 years later is the first time I'm hearing that I was so slow that he had to go down a notch in order to have a conversation with me, and I just thought, well, that's kind of romantic.
That is. And, you know,
it's very romantic. And he did that when you were dating. But, you know, so many times in our life, once we're married, we don't take that time to slow down and really make sure that we're walking or rollerblading or whatever at the same pace.
Yeah, even when we're hiking and, you know, walking, I tend to go faster than Claudia. That's my natural tendency. Now, if we're going uphill, I tend to go a little bit slower.
I go faster uphill.
And then going downhill.
I go faster downhill.
She goes to faster downhills. But Claudia's always saying, hey, if you want to talk with me, you need to slow down.
And that's the point, you know, right?
Trust experts, hey, it still work. You know, we still have to work at it.
A little competition is okay, I guess, among spouses as well, right?
Yeah.
Well, the whole point of the dates that you've put together, though, is to actually connect and to have fun, even though you might be on a budget. And so speak to the importance of that. Why do we think that we need to spend so much and create these extravagant dates or vacations in order to connect when we could just as easily do that with just giving some time?
You know, time is our most precious possession, and it's easier for people to throw money at relationships than rather invest the time. But we believe that it's just so important to connect and to build your relationship and to have time alone. And, you know, we encourage couples, too, every now and then to try to get away even for 24 hours. I remember when we had young children and we left them for a getaway and they complained, oh, we want to go with you. And we said, look, guys, we're doing this for your own good.
And they'd roll their eyes.
Oh, sure. And we said, just think about it. When mom and daddy go off and we come back, we're so much nicer.
So much more relaxed.
I think that a real stumbling block for a lot of couples is they don't know what to do on a date. And that you think of a date, you think of, you know, dinner and a movie. And so...
And there's nothing wrong with dinner and movie. I mean, that's positive. But what we're really encouraging couples to do is to really connect. I know sometimes we're sitting in restaurants and we're looking around, you know, at other couples. And the couples who are sitting there and they're talking and they're holding hands are really having, you know, they're really connected. What do you assume? You assume that, you know, that they're not married. And you look at the couples who are sitting over there in the booth and they're just sort of looking around and moving their food, you know, on their plate and... you know, occasionally just sort of chit-chatting, you know. So we just need to live real before those that are closest to us, you know. And really makes a difference in the dailies of our lives and in our relationship as we relate to each other.
We're talking about great dates today with David and Claudia Arp, who've written a fabulous book, well, several, but the one we're talking about today is called $10 Great Dates, Connecting Love, Marriage and Fun on a Budget. We're going to chat more with Claudia and David when we come back and maybe give a couple more ideas on some great dates that you can plan almost spontaneously coming up for Valentine's Day, which is tomorrow. We'll be right back on Connecting Faith. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. Having a great conversation today with David and Claudia Arp on great dates, $10 great dates, as a matter of fact, ways that you can romance your loved one without possibly breaking your bank. And we've been talking about the best part about a date should be connecting with your spouse and how marriage can be such a fun time. And we just need to do a little bit of planning, right, David?
That's right. Just a little bit of planning. And 10 great dates, $10 great dates will as a guy will help, will give you some ideas, some things that you can do. And, you know, I don't know, if you were to pick up this book and give it to your spouse for Valentine's and say, hey, I love you. I want to go through these $10 great dates with you, I guarantee you, you will get brownie points.
Well, you could even buy the book, never let them see the book, and just come up with all of these fabulous ideas, quote-unquote, on your own.
You can also buy it as an e-book.
You can.
It's like you've got it right on your smartphone. So you're sitting there, wherever you are on your date, and here are your, you know, wonderful conversation joggers and suggestions for things to do. So it's we hope it's going to facilitate just a lot of great dates. And when we did the book with the Larsons, we did different categories of dates, so you can pick and choose what sounds, you know, really interesting to you. They are adventure great dates or out on the town great dates. There's a whole section of at home great dates.
Obviously, the romantic great dates.
The great outdoors, seasonal specials, unique and unusual great dates.
So there are eight categories.
Great date.
So there are eight categories, and sort of, you know, whatever your mood or, you know, the type of date that you're looking for, there's one in there somewhere that will fit whatever you're looking
your
for.
Your mood is.
So one of my favorites as I was paging through is the wedding video great date, because we did this, and one of the things that you write is, if you've been married for a long time, you might laugh at the hairstyles or fashion choices. And I have to say, that is true. It's funny to look at what we chose and, I mean, labored over how to choose and what to choose. And the things that we chose that we look at now, we're like, what were we thinking? And then we get to relive those great stories. And again, I learned things from my husband that I didn't know. I, having been in the media, of course, I knew the people who were filming our wedding, and they got everyone ready, and they wanted to put a microphone on my husband. So, of course, they went up at the front of the church. I was in the back, of course, waiting to go down the aisle. And they said, we're going to put this microphone on you. And he said that he absolutely freaked out, that he was completely calm until someone said, we're going to put a microphone on you because we're going to be filming this forever and ever. And that, for some reason, put him over the edge. And so he said that when he saw me, his first reaction was, I can't believe you're making me wear a microphone. And then his second reaction is, oh, wait, I'm getting married. So to watch his face on the video and be able to relive those stories, it's just a really fun way to connect.
Mm-hmm.
So I loved that chapter.
Well, memory lane is always, you know, going back in your memories is always a great thing to do on any date, because it takes you back to it, and particularly if you're in a place in your relationship where it's not that great right now. If you go back and talk about, you know, when was the first time we saw each other? Where was that? And you may remember different things. Mm-hmm. So it's important not to say, no, that's not where you saw me the first time. If you want to just combine your memories and you know, where was the first time we saw each other? Where did we go on our first date when we first went out together?
Yeah, when did we really feel like we were connecting? When did we start thinking, oh, you may be the one, you know, mm-hmm. and talk through your engagement and your marriage and your wedding. And another fun date along this line in $10 great dates is a time travel great date. And on that date, you talk about what movies that you saw when you first started dating, the ones that you like. And so you rent that movie and watch it all over again.
And then you can think about where you went to dinner, if you went to dinner. I mean, those things are all great, great things to discuss.
Mm-hmm.
Or what were you remember? Just like you said, sometimes we remember things differently.
Yes.
Yeah, like some of the talking points for that date is, if you just rewatched a movie from your early days of dating, how did the movie compare to your memories? What do you remember about asking or being asked out for your first date? What did you do together on your first date? In the beginning, what attracted you to each other? How often did you date in those days? You know, and then the takeaway is movies are fun, but falling in love is better, and that your relationship is at a, you know, progresses from attraction to infatuation to mature love, you know, how you grow together. And but it's so neat to be able to reminisce and remember the excitement of falling in love.
I love your bucket list great date as well. That seems like a really fun way to talk about things that you want to do and maybe even make some plans as well. Talk about that one.
Well, that's actually one of our favorite ones. We've made several bucket lists and have worked through them over time. But there are things that you would really like to do. You know, as going back to the hiking thing, there's some things that we would some hikes that we definitely want to take. And so they're on our bucket list, and we need to, in fact, Clyde, that's one of the things we need to do. And not just talk about it.
But on this date, you brainstorm together and you come up with your list. And you can talk about things like, if money were no object, I would like to. Or my most favorite place in the whole world is, the place I would most like to visit is, one thing I would like to learn. And, you know, just dreaming together is the beginning of fulfilling your dreams. And so when you make your bucket list, then you can choose a goal to work towards, you know, checking off a couple of things on your list. Be more great dates.
Well, you also stress the importance in a couple of your books of getting to know your spouse spiritually. What's their background? What are their experiences? What effect religion may have on you or on your family life? Talk about that a little bit, why people might want to have those conversations.
Well, that's the book, 10 Great Dates, Connecting Faith, Love, and Marriage. And it's a different book from the $10 Great Dates. And in that particular book, the dates are designed to help a couple talk about those issues that we don't tend to talk about. How did we become a Christian? Or where are we on our spiritual journeys? Because we see so many couples in our Great Dates seminars where one's a Christian, one's not a Christian, or one's a more mature Christian than the other. And so you tend to not talk about these things. You may go to church together, but you don't really talk about where you are in your relationship with the Lord and where you are on your path.
In our original 10 Great Dates book, 10 Great Dates to Energize Your Marriage, that is the program, we had a date on developing spiritual intimacy. And so this book, the 10 Great Dates Connecting Faith, Love, and Marriage, is basically 10 dates that help you grow together spiritually and to be able to talk about what's really important in your life and in your relationship. And so one of the dates is experiencing God together. There's another, loving your closest neighbor, talking together with God. Building your marriage on a strong foundation, facing the storms of life together. And we love the date on making your marriage a lighthouse, because what we said about we're modeling, you know, for our grandkids and others and our kids, we can also be a lighthouse and model to others what a loving Christian marriage looks like and the importance of having God in our relationship.
So there may be people listening who are like, I have not gone on a date where I've actually connected with my spouse in so long, I have no idea where to start, Valentine's Day or not. I don't know where I'm supposed to start. What date would you suggest would just be a good way to kind of get started again, get back in that groove of making time for each other and to have conversations together?
Well, I think I would start with the $10 great dates, with one of those dates, because they're less threatening. Mm-hmm. The 10 great dates connecting faith, love, and marriage, what we're discovering is when you talk about your faith – your spiritual journey, sometimes it takes you a little bit to work into that, conversation.
Start with some fun dates. That would be a really good follow-up to this book. But
yeah.
Also with that, let me just mention 10 Great Dates, Connecting Faith, Love, and Marriage is great for small group studies. And on our website, 10greatdates.org, we have a free leader's guide that you can request, and then we'll send you a PDF download so that you can do this book also with other couples.
And a Sunday school class is a great place to use that particular resource. So anyway, where were we on the?
On what would be a great date if you don't want to start off with a spiritual conversation? What would be one of the $10 great dates? Just a way to kind of start getting connected again and maybe discuss. Hey, you know, we have a list of 52 different dates that we could go on to start that conversation to say, let's commit to this.
That's a good question.
There are a lot of different ones.
I stumped you.
Pardon?
Did I stump you?
You did, in a way, because
there's so many good ones. You can't really pick.
I think you just have to look through and see what is appealing to you. Mm-hmm. I definitely think marriage checkup, great date. That's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love that.
It's a way to look at your marriage, but in a non-threatening way. It's not, you know, it's not pass or fail type of checkup.
You know, just go to a coffee shop or bistro or, you know, out for dessert and take turns talking about what delights you most about your spouse. You know, what are some of the best things that have happened to us as a couple in the past 12 months? What is one challenge we faced and surmounted together? And maybe what challenges are we facing at the present time? And what are one or two goals you would like to set for the next 12 months? This might be a really good starting place. And then pick out some of the dates and put them in your calendar.
So making time to actually go out with each other can sometimes be the biggest challenge of all. Do you have any suggestions on how to do that? Putting them in your calendar, of course, is one of them. How can we convince ourselves that this is very important?
Well, it's you know, how important is your relationship? And if you're not willing to spend some time with your with that person who's most important to you, it's going to be hard to go forward in your relationship.
I think too, if you're going to plan it, you know, we have these little kids that we need some help with, and so we actually included in the book a section on cheap childcare options of things that you can do. And one is, if you can't get out at night, plan a daytime date or recruit relatives. Or when our boys were younger, we adopted grandparents because we didn't have grandparents close around like we've been right now for our grandkids here. We adopted grandparents, or we traded kids with friends. They would keep our kids for us to have a night out, and then we would keep theirs. So I think that, you know, you could also surprise your spouse. You could kidnap your spouse for a great date. But that would be a good way to jumpstart it.
Well, and that, I was reading that chapter as well, the Surprise Me Great Date. And it's not, you've laid it out so nicely that the thinking on my part doesn't even have to be that grand. If I just follow some instructions, you've given the ideas. And so it does kind of take the pressure off of me to figure out how I'm supposed to surprise my spouse. And that is just a huge blessing for someone who may not feel like they're that creative.
Right. And most of us guys, we don't feel that creative for the most part. Sometimes it's the other way around. But, you know, it's when you have, you know, a game plan for, and each of these dates is laid out with, you know, what to do before your date, what to do on the date, the talking points that you can consider discussing. And then, you know, at the end is, you know, the takeaway. It's just basically a thought or something, you know, after you've had this date, how can you apply what you've just learned, what you've just done in your relationship on an ongoing basis. So it's not just a date, you come home and then, well, that was nice, but there's some follow-up to it.
Well, we're talking about creating big romance on a small budget with David and Claudia Arp on their book, $10 Great Dates, Connecting Love, Marriage, and Fun on a Budget. We're going to take our last break, and if you are interested in getting a copy of this book, we do have a couple to give away. Just go to our website at myfaithradio.com, click on the Connecting Faith show page. You can enter in your name and your email address, and we'll put all of those entries into a drawing at the end of the show, and hopefully you'll be able to pick up this book, and it will be just in time for Valentine's Day, but of course you'd be able to use it the whole year through as well. We'll be right back with David and Claudia Arp. Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Thanks for joining us today. We're talking about $10 Great Dates, things to do on Valentine's Day or beyond, with authors David and Claudia Arp. They've written a number of books, great date books, and this one tells us ways to do great dates on a budget. So David and Claudia, we were chatting about Valentine's Day a little bit. What's your best Valentine's Day story as it applies to dating?
Is it a good story or a bad story?
That's up to you.
Because, you know, as seminar leaders and marriage educators, usually Valentine's weekend is just a high stress for us, high work. We're out there helping other couples, leading seminars. And I remember one Valentine's weekend, we had done our seminar. It just helped all these couples connect and fall more in love. And we were on the plane, and we were landing, and I looked over at Dave, and I said, you know what? Actually, today is Valentine's Day. We were flying on the 14th. I said, you know, what are we going to do for dinner? I don't have anything at home.
And I looked at it, and I said, you know, we haven't made any reservations anywhere, you know, don't have gifts, don't have a card. I said, quite honestly, sweetheart, I don't have a card, I don't have anything.
And we're exhausted. You know, we're just exhausted. The last thing we want to do is have a great date. And so we said, okay, we'll go by the grocery store, and we're going to pick up something we can eat. And so we went to a little gourmet grocery store, Balducci's. And so we walked in, and would look around, and the next thing I know, Dave is handing me a bouquet of yellow roses.
A dozen yellow
roses. Happy Valentine's Day, Claudia. I just got these flowers specially for you.
I love you.
So,
enjoy.
I played along. Oh, thank you. That's so thoughtful. And I put him in the buggy, and then we looked at the food, and we picked out, what about tenderloin? Let's really splurge. Let's have a 5-star Valentine's great date. And so we got that, and then we got all the vegetables that our kids hated that we get to eat now in the empty nest. And, for dessert, a really beautiful little tart for two. And, you know, we're really getting into this. We had hors d'oeuvres, you know, they were giving samples. And so those were our Valentine hors d'oeuvres. And just as we were getting ready to check out, I saw a rack of cards.
Before that, Claudia, you gave me a thing of Godiva chocolate.
Yeah, I did.
I gave you the roses. You gave me Godiva chocolate.
You know, a wonderful box, expensive box of candy. And then we came to the card rack.
Right.
So we each gave each other Valentine's cards. And, you know, we gave them to each other, and as is our custom, then we just put them back. Because we didn't
enjoy
have to buy them.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're going over to the checkout counter, and we're standing there in line, and Claudia looks at the roses, and she says, you know, Dave, I really appreciate the roses. I appreciate that you've gotten them for me. But, you know, we're leaving in 3 days for another seminar, and they're going to just die. So I appreciate it.
I've enjoyed them.
Yeah. And we saw some friends, and, you know, and Claudia, you know, said, hey, Dave, eat these roses, you know. So I got brownie points for that, too.
So anyway, so I just, you know, before we checked out, I just put them back. See, this was one of the cheap dates.
Yeah. But then when she came back to the line, and I was looking at the Godiva chocolate, which was even more expensive than the roses. Yes. I looked at her, and, you know, the nonverbal was, yeah, I think you should put that back. So So we put the Godiva chocolate back, but we did go home with the
dinner,
and it turned out to be a great evening.
You know, you can put a spin on anything. You can put a dating spin. There's a one date in $10 Great Dates is running Aaron's Great Date, and you can use your time twice. You just have to be intentional. And make your marriage a priority and build that friendship, and it will help your relationship go the distance.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned something, too, about being empty nesters, and I know you've also written another great book called The Second Half of Marriage. Do you want to speak a little bit to why couples need to rethink how they connect with each other once their kids are gone?
Well, it's important to keep that connection during the active parenting years, because what we see happen is as the kids grow up and they become teenagers, you may be great parents, you spend a lot of time in your parenting role, but then you lose that emotional connectedness with each other because your careers are taking off, your parenting, and then when the kids leave, all of a sudden there's this void, and you're looking at each other, you know, over this breakfast table for five, and it's just the two of you, and it's very, very quiet.
Yeah, and you say, who are you? You know, I don't know this bird in my nest. My empty nest here, and if I know you, I'm not sure I want to spend the next 30 years with you. And the divorce rate really increases with couples married 30 plus years. And so it's a time to reinvent your relationship. We believe that the second half of marriage can be the best half. And so in Second Half of Marriage, which is also a video curriculum for small groups, we help couples face the 8 challenges that all couples face at this time of life. And we just help them reinvent their relationship and to go from a child-focused relationship to partner-focus and just to rediscover each other. We also put together 10 Great Dates for Empty Nesters. So they can reinvent their relationship while they're having dates.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's important to not ever kind of put it on cruise control and think that everything is going to be fine, right?
Never.
Yeah. No, this never quite happens that way.
No, marriage is a journey. It's not a destination. You never get there. And you keep, you know, traveling this road together. And you have to keep working on that relationship. If you don't keep working, it's going to go downhill. And so just remember that to journey together, it's quite the trip.
Well, and you can make that statement because you've been married for how long now?
Well, gee, with the younger parents out there, but we have been married for 52 years and we're still dating.
But it's great. You don't ruin your credibility because you also have children who are married and you get to experience marriage through their eyes as well.
Absolutely.
And that must give you a unique perspective on how to advise couples as they're not only starting out, but in the middle and as they're past the middle, correct?
Absolutely.
You know, we have to, every stage of marriage, we have different season of life. And, you know, when you're first married, you're so in love and you're discovering each other, and then the kids come and you almost lose each other, and then the teenage years come and you're hanging on. So in all stages of life, we found that you've got to work on your relationship. You've got to stay connected, and one of the best ways to do that is by dating your spouse. We've been writing books on this since the early 80s. So we have really seen all those different stages.
Well, we've just enjoyed this conversation so much, being able to talk with both David and Claudia Arp. We have loved getting great ideas on how to have great dates with our spouse. So thank you so much for being willing to share all those ideas.
Well, Joe, thanks for having us.
It's been fun. Thanks, Joe. Mm-hmm.
And happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, to you too.
Thank you.
To all those who are listening.
Thank you. And you can get more information on the books and resources that the ARPs have created on their website at 10greatdates.org. Otherwise, you can just go to our show page, click on Connecting Faith, and we'll have a link to their resources as well. And if you want a copy of their book, please submit your name and your email address, and we'll be able to have a drawing for a great Valentine's Valentine's Day gift. And if you don't have a Valentine's Day plan, there are some great ideas in their book, $10 Great Dates. And if you missed any of this program and you want to rewind and catch it again, you can just grab a podcast of it. As soon as we're done with the show, it should be up in just a couple of minutes. You can again go to myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith. You'll be able to access a podcast of this program or any other programs that we've done in the past as well. Have a happy Valentine's Day. You've been listening to Connecting Faith.
Cause love was made for me and you. I said love was made for me and you.